Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us in a mood for the worship of God. And let's give ear before we go into our prayer. Navy Petty Officer Mike Mansour, Explosive Ordnance Disposal Second Class, born April the 15th, 1981. He died September the 29th, 2009. Mike Mansour was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor last week for giving his life in Iraq as he jumped on and covered with his body a grenade that was thrown among the men. During his funeral at Fort Rosecrans National Cemetery in San Diego, California, the six pallbearers removed the rosewood casket from the hearse and lined up on each side of the casket where his family, friends, fellow sailors, and well-wishers. The column of people continued from the hearse to the gravesite. What the group didn't know at the time was that every SEAL, 45 SEALed trained sailors who would have died, the grenade was thrown in their midst. But it was this sailor, not one of the SEALs, that threw his body on the grenade. People did not know that every Naval SEAL that Mike Mansour saved that day was scattered throughout the column. As the pallbearers carried the rosewood casket down the column of people to the graveside, the column would collapse. When it collapsed, it formed a group of people that followed behind, and every time the rosewood casket passed by, he would remove from his chest the gold trident pin from his uniform and slap it on the redwood casket hard, causing the gold trident pin to embed itself in the top of the wooden casket. Then the Navy SEAL would step back from the column and salute. The definition of the trended pin, after one completes the basic Navy SEALs program, which lasts 3 weeks, and then is followed, after that 3 weeks, followed by SEAL qualification training, which is 15 more weeks of training necessary to continue improving basic skills and to learn new tactics and techniques, required for an assignment to a Navy SEAL platoon after successful completion of the training. He was given the Trident pin. Trainees are given their Navy enlisted code and are awarded Navy SEAL Trent pin. With this gold pin, they are now officially Navy SEALs. It was said you could hear each of the 45 slaps across the cemetery. By the time the casket reached the gravesite, it looked like and I had pictures but didn't get them on. It looked like as though it had a gold inlay from the 45 Creighton pins that lined the top. This was a fitting end to the eternal send-off for a war hero. In respect of Memorial Day weekend, we do appreciate the men and women who have served in this country from its foundation, providing us the freedom to worship right here. We've had so many wonderful ones here. Harold Simonson, I had the privilege of giving him his salute. William Hess had the privilege of giving him his salute. We just had this over the years. Men that come through here that have served in our military and part of the freedom that we now enjoy right now is all of this service. Jim Passmore retired just before you reached general. Going to be a general, right? But we're just so appreciative of that. And let's have a word of prayer. And then if you'll open in your hymnals, and we will sing hymn number 511. My country, tis of thee. All right? We will, first of all, let's just stand for a word of prayer, and then we will sing this beautiful hymn. Heavenly Father, we're not of this world, we're in it. By your grace and choice, we're citizens of this country. We do love it. It had a foundation established from the Word of God. By 96% of the men were born-again believers in Jesus Christ, preachers, men who reverently studied the Word. It was built on biblical principles. 33% of our Constitution and Declaration of Independence are directly from the Bible. Its history has been a witness of you and of your Son in the spreading of the Bible throughout the world. However, Father, these days have changed. The book is no longer revered in our Congress, no longer revered in our Supreme Court, in our schools, and even in many churches. We live in a time when this country is becoming dark. But Heavenly Father, we do cherish and we do honor the history of this country, where there's no place on the earth that the gospel has not been taken, largely because of the support from this country. As with individuals, nations serve their time. America was established for the spreading of the gospel, built on freedom of the individual and the responsibility of the individual. All these things are going into the shadows. But Heavenly Father, this weekend especially, we just thank you and we praise you for the history of this country, for the spreading of the gospel, for the printing of the Bible in so many languages. So many missionaries, so many people have gone out being a witness for you from this country. And Father, we are thankful for the men and women who have served in our nation's history right up to this very hour, where many are in harm's way right now as we worship. To allow us the freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. And if this nation is making its decision to turn its back and turn away from you, that's been our heritage, to worship you and be a witness of you. And we will never forget that. So, Father, we are thankful for these men and women in our history and right up to this present day. They didn't ask to go to these countries and fight. We sent them. Father, we salute them. And we thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. And we pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. My country, 'tis of thee. Okay. Now, the thing I need to tell you is next Sunday is not only is it communion, but I will be in Tucson, and Philip is going to teach, and he's going to teach at the 9:30 and the 10:45 communion. So please be here, support him. And let's see, are you a master's or a PhD? Master's, okay. This got his master's degree, and so be here to support him and worship here. And please be in prayer for me in Tucson and speaking. And John said, what are you going to be speaking on? And I just used, I said, why the world hates you. And he goes, why it hates me? What I do? I said, well, why the world hates the body of Christ. Okay. Let's see. Yes. No class this next Wednesday. This week we're having class. This Wednesday class, the following Wednesday, no. But this Wednesday, yes. So please be sure you got that clear, yes. And next Sunday, in fact, the following Wednesday will be the only class that will be interrupted. Everything else will be the same and be in the normal flow. Now, let's. We have a wonderful, wonderful surprise. Terry Hallett's with us. Terry, come on up and talk to us. My goodness gracious. Wow. You want to talk from there?
Well, real quick. Quick update.
Got a hold of this. I don't know if it's on, though. It is, okay.
Well, first of all, I want to say it's good to be home. Back at church. Feels like home. But Thomas is doing great. He is walking almost without a cane now. Doing his exercises, getting stronger, gained a couple pounds since yesterday, or day before. He gained 2 pounds overnight. Doctor's going to send him home on Tuesday, and we'll be home for 6 days.
Oh, that's great. I know. Home Tuesday.
That means he's doing really good, and he's not going to be on any meds. He'll have maybe one thing that they're weaning him off of. So this Monday we'll do a lung test for clearance for transplant, which I know he should pass. And then we'll go home Tuesday after he turns in all his final exams, and then check back in on Monday the 6th for in the transplant, a whole different building, and get ready for transplant. So we need lots of prayers, because he'll start chemo for 6 days, have a day of rest, and then they'll infuse him with stem cells. And be in prayer for the donor, this person that's donating her cells, saving Thomas's life pretty much. So we don't know her name, just know that it's a woman. And that's about it. We got a big battle ahead of us, and he will be in there for 45 to 60 days, and he won't be able to have visitors or anything either.
6 days of chemo?
Yeah, it's 6 days, and then a day of rest, and then they infuse him with stem cells.
Will it be two times a day?
Well, I think it's one day. It's just one day. It's just really hard stuff.
Yeah.
It's two different types. They're going to do 4 days and then 3 days.
Neither of them are the same type.
No.
Before,
no. Side effects could be about the same, but that was rare side effects for him, so we don't know. We don't know what it's going to do. Just be in prayer. And thank you, everybody, for all your prayers and your meals and all the support, because it's felt always.
That is so wonderful. Thank you, darling. Any questions on Sarah? Was there anyone ask her a question? Okay. Well, that gives you an idea of what to be in prayer. Be in prayer that during this time period, that Thomas's strength continues to get better and better and better each day and night. And then pray with regard to the chemotherapy, and then the transplant. So we'll keep an update. You'll keep it on the internet, the update and things. It'll be good. So that'll be wonderful. Okay, let's see. Our disabled vet, Ron, is going to have his schedule for the surgery Tuesday, May 31st, and that will be in prayer for Ron and his family. If you remember, this surgery is very rare and very dangerous. So please be in prayer for Ron, and the surgery will be Tuesday the 31st. And so please bear that in mind. Gerald Weber, our member down in Houston, his mother was diagnosed with cancer this week. So please be in prayer for Alice Weber, and be in prayer for what they do and how they go about it and all. And so please be in prayer for that. And Jeff, glad to have you here. Man, you didn't almost make it through Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah, luckily I was going through there after the storm.
After the storm, all right. Well, how's Chicago?
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, that's right. Did you run into any of Al Capone's relatives or anything yet?
Not yet.
Not yet? All right. Okay. I remember years ago I went to Chicago, and I feel so ridiculous. Now, that's really all I wanted to see was where Al Capone was, the church building that had all the bullet holes in it, and on the end of the building side and all that. So you want to go to this, and I don't know where it is, but they'll be able to tell you. There's a McDonald's that has a 57 Corvette inside the lobby there, and all the James Dean stuff on the wall and all this stuff. And it's quite a McDonald's. You don't even have to eat, but just go in there and enjoy all of the paraphernalia and things like that. Okay. This morning's paper talked about how less than 50% of the couples living together are married. 48%. 48%. A man and a woman married together. Over 50% are couples living together that are not married. And this last week, Jim, where are you? Jim and Anail celebrated their 52nd wedding anniversary. So let's give them a hand. That's great. Wow. That is really, really super. And let's see. Tomorrow, I'll celebrate 2 years. They said it wouldn't last, but it did. 2 years. And learned a lot about myself in that 2 years that I had no clue of. I always thought, man.
Ice cream here.
All right. I'll do it. All right. Let's see. I think I had some other things here. Okay, one other thing. Any other prayer request, first of all? Any other prayer request? Okay. 37 years ago, today, this Sunday, as a matter of fact, the Lord called me into the ministry, and I started teaching, verse-by-verse teaching. It's been 37 years ago this today, and had a wonderful spiritual awakening, if you please, in 1990-91, and dealing with how to be filled with the Spirit. And just want to thank Jim Passmore. Jim Passmore has been here since the beginning. And so I don't know if he's hanging around to just see what's going to happen to me or what, but bless his heart, he's always here and he's always been a friend. And it's just been really wonderful studying and teaching verse by verse for 37 years. But what is really interesting to me as I thought about that is things that I'm seeing now that I've never seen. Just the whole teaching of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ in our study in John 13, 14, 15, and 16. And Jesus Christ did more teaching on the Holy Spirit than anyone. Jesus Christ did more teaching on prayer. Paul tells us to pray, Peter, but as far as the teaching on it, breaking the whole dispensation from the age of Israel to the church age where we address him as Father. That was just revolutionary, if you don't mind that word, because it had never been done before in history. And Jesus Christ taught us to pray to the Father, our Heavenly Father, and to pray in his name. That was never done before. So he taught us more on the Holy Spirit and prayer. And so just seeing so many, many, many more things. And I just wished I had two or three more lifetimes. And I think if I had two more lifetimes, I'd finish the book of Romans. But so just have to hold on and find out. What? Well, by then I have different congregations. But so it's just been a real honor being a pastor teacher for 37 years. Look forward to many, many, many more. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purchases in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior. But not only that, one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith, that the Spirit will lead in regard to giving. It is our privilege, it is our responsibility to give. And I'm kind of sorry that the 9:30 service and the 10:45 are not closer together as far as the teaching. Because what we studied in the 9:30 service this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is we dealt with eagerly waiting the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we took a look at all the passages, and there are a ton of them that deal with our lives and waiting eagerly for the revelation of Jesus Christ, which for us will be at the rapture when we will meet him in the air and see him as he is. Then there will be the second advent revelation where the earth will see him as he is. But this is how we live. And we think about it, why are we giving money? Why are we giving money we could spend on ourselves, on our homes, our own pleasures and things? Take that money, say, no, I believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe he's coming. And I believe I will see him and be like him. And this is why we are going to, as we look at our study on tribulation. Why do we endure tribulation? It's the revelation of Christ. That's why. We're going to see him, be like him, and then be with him forever. We'll see him as he is, we'll be like him, and then we will be with him forever after the revelation of Christ. So, this is why we live our life. Why we come to Bible study. Why study the Bible? Why do we do all of these things? It's for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Anticipation. Eagerly waiting. Eagerly waiting. Preparing. Getting ready. Knowing him. I made the point, and I want to make it again. I hope that the revelation of Christ, whether it's today or 100 years from now, that when this event occurs and you see him revealing himself to us as a church, that you'll meet a friend. I think a lot of Christians are going to meet a stranger. But I hope that you, in the study of His Word, here, wherever else you study, if it's truth, you'll meet a friend. People have this idea, I'm going to just go down and fall down and worship before Him. And maybe I've got the wrong attitude. I just want to go up and shake His hand and hug Him. He's my friend. He's been my friend since I was about 7 years of age. And just become closer and closer and closer and closer over the years. And I won't be meeting a stranger. And I hope none of you, here, on the internet, listen to tapes, that you don't meet a stranger when you meet Him. When you see Him as He is at the revelation. I don't know what He looks like. Have no idea what He looks like. And I'm so thankful that there were no pictures taken of Him, no drawings of Him. All these people, see what we've done with just things that aren't even Him. People worship pictures and paintings and all this stuff, statues. We don't know what He looked like, but we know Him. Know Him. And we wait eagerly for His revelation. And that's why we give money. You think about it. Think about it. Why do I study the Word? Why do I give money? Why do I live a life that is geared in a certain way? No immorality, fighting against immorality and sins and all these things and just striving to walk in the Spirit all the way. Why would we do that? It's for the revelation of Christ. That's what Peter says. That's why we do it. Eagerly waiting the revelation of Jesus Christ. And while we're waiting, we function. We have spiritual gifts in the Corinthians study, 1 Corinthians. You've been enriched with every spiritual gift, eagerly waiting. So what's the parallel of circumstance? You use your spiritual gift, living this Christian life, and parallel with that is you're eagerly waiting the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we use our spiritual gift, we give, we witness, we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The best example that I could come up with is like, since we're the bride of Christ, it's like a young girl. I don't know what age, but a young girl, and she and now has reached the point where she wants to get married, and she anticipates, one day I'm going to meet this guy, one day I'm going to marry him. So I'm going to withhold my body for him. I'm not going to get involved in premarital sex because I'm going to wait for him. I'm not going to get involved in this and this and this. I'm going to live a certain way. I'm going to continue to improve myself, get myself better. It isn't a matter of sin or not sin. That'd be okay. But it's not sin or not sin. I'm just anticipating. I want to be special that night, that day when I marry and meet and marry this man. And that's the way we are with Christ. We live our life and we're gearing our life for that wonderful time when we will see Him and be like Him. We endure tribulation. We're going to be studying tribulation. Why would we endure tribulation giving glory to Him if we didn't believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ? Why would Rick and Terry go through and go into prayer every day, all day, almost probably continual prayer? Didn't believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. But then comes that soft voice. Where else would we go? What else would we do? But we have that hope. We have that confidence of the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we shall see Him and be as He is. Well, I didn't mean to get off into preaching of this for the offertory. But this is why we give. Think about it. We pull money out that we could use for other things and we give to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We believe one day He's going to be revealed. And the world that has shunned Him, denied Him, they're going to be in shock and in fear when He is revealed. We are going to rejoice. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the freedom that we enjoy in this country, the political economic system upon which this nation was founded, that was founded for individuals to work, earn a profit, and then have the freedom and the responsibility to do with that freedom, to do with that money, to do with that time as we see fit. It is our privilege, a grace privilege, a grace gift, that we have been given to be able to support the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to both unbeliever and believer in every way that you've given this humble assembly, missionaries, internet, tapes, discs, and word of mouth. Each of us having that wonderful opportunity to tell somebody else of that one whom we're going to meet one day, and they can meet him too. So, Father, we pray to receive the offerings. You'll continue to use them as you use this assembly in the spreading of the truth. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. But we're looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 2, where we exalt in tribulation. Romans chapter 5, let's just do read it to get our springboard of where we are today. Now, Romans chapter 5 begins with the results of imputation of righteousness resulting in justification. As a result of being justified by God, by faith in Christ, being imputed with righteousness, we have certain example or certain effects and results. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and why are we justified? Now, we've been studying four chapters of Romans on that, being faith in Christ, imputed righteousness, justified. Now, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have peace with God, not to be confused with the peace of God, which is by the Holy Spirit, when we walk by faith in the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. That's joy of God. This is peace with God by result of the work of Christ on the cross. Then the second result, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we now stand. That's eternal security. So that is the result of our justification. We are secure in Christ. Now we move to the third. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. This is, of course, dealing with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then the fourth one, and this is where we are in verse 3. And not only this, not only do we hope, do we exalt in the hope of the glory of God, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Now, that's tough. That's nice if you're sitting here and things are relatively okay. Maybe you kind of tremble at the fact that you're going to have to be with some family this week, the day or tomorrow. Maybe this or that. But that's not tribulation. It may be tribulation, but that's really not what we're talking about here. Want to talk about tribulation? Hit blindsided. Talk to Rick and Terry. I've already told them that I was using them as sort of the example through this. Now, you tell them, and I didn't do this at the hospital, but I did it in teaching before, and I have, and will continue. Exalt in tribulation. James says, count it all joy. How can you count this joy? How can you tell me to exalt in the tribulation that we're going through? That's what we're here looking at, people. This is from God. Exalt in tribulation. How can that be? Now, very quickly, just getting up to where we left off last Sunday morning, I just want to remind you of the very first thing, the very first principle. It's not a point. It's an overriding principle. Do not try to figure out where the tribulation is coming from. Don't do that. Is this of God? Is this of Satan? Is this of the world? Is this my own doing? Don't do that. Don't try to figure out where the tribulation is coming from. Don't try to figure out the source. The source doesn't matter, whether it's of God, Satan, the world, or whatever. The solution's the same. Got to walk by faith. It's a testing of our faith. Will you continue to trust Him in the midst of the tribulation? And people, if it happens and then it's over, that's one thing. But this is going on for 3 months. It'll be months in Rick and Terry's life. It's months in the life of a soldier on a battlefield. It's months in people's lives. And that wears. That wears on you. Can you still trust Him? Will you still trust Him? That's the great deal. Source doesn't matter. The example I like to use here is, you get shot. The doctor's not going to ask you, did an enemy shoot you? Was it friendly fire? Was it self-induced? Was it an accident? He doesn't care. He's going to treat it the same way. So don't get involved in the source of all these things. The test is to your faith. And what we did last week, we spent time noting tribulation, the ellipsis, and the thing I want to show you, remind you, the whole thing with tribulations, what's happening, is designed to crush, press against your life. And that's the way you feel when you're in this tribulation. How much can I take? How long is this going to go on? Like Habakkuk. In Habakkuk, he asks both words, how long and why? It's crushing, pressing, squeezing. What's it trying to break? It's trying to break your faith. Then we noted, don't try to figure it out. Point one, Old Testament, concepts of tribulation. And here we started with sin. Tribulation as a result of sin of man in the garden. And we spent time on developing that. Then we took up tribulation in the New Testament, where the Word primarily deals with believers suffering for the purpose and the glory of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. People, when you're suffering, you've got to understand we're suffering the suffering of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to shoot straight here all the way through this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then people, we're to be pitied. If there's no resurrection, if there's no revelation, we're to be pitied. We're foolish people to live our lives and go through suffering, giving glory to Him. Then we noted point three, tribulation due to the decisions of life, sin. And we thought of various kinds of dealing with sin. Poor decisions in regard to health. Noted things in that regard. Poor decisions in regard to romance, love, and marriage. I'm not talking there about sin. It's just some people bring tribulation into life who they marry. And that old thing, you can't help who you fall in love with. I don't know about if it's true or not, but I'm just telling you, a lot of people suffer tribulations just by whom they fall in love with. And I'm not talking about sin. Just romance, whether they marry or not. All right? Then Roman numeral 4, and this is where we left off at Roman numeral 4. No, we left off at Roman numeral 5, so we got through 4. Tribulation in the world, war, weather, national disaster, circumstances of orphans and widows, and that brings us now to Roman numeral 5. Tribulation from people. Tribulation from people. This involves the sin of gossip, ostracism, disapproval, persecution, violence, crime. Just part of life. Since man has a sin nature. Since man has a sin nature. First major sin in the Bible was not sex. They ate of the forbidden tree. The second major sin was not sex. A brother murdered his brother. So all of these things just come from people, people in life. Because they're preachers. Preachers who build congregations on shame and guilt. God's going to get you. What's your view of God? Gotta be very careful of what your view of God is, people. Roman numeral 6. Suffering from failure. This is why most Christians suffer right here. Suffering, tribulation from failure of walking by, living by faith. One of the primary reasons believers suffer, they fail to trust God. Failure to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Failure to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't have time for doctrine. I've got to stay home and watch TV. I've got to read. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to go here and I've got to go there. I just don't have time for the study of the Word of God. Stress, anxiety, and depression fill their life. One of my favorite passages in Scripture. Generally, I try to do this when I leave Thomas every time. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. It's a battle of the mind. Now we come to the heart of our study. Understanding tribulation. Understanding it. Helps a little bit if you understand it. Point one. John 16:33. If you will, let's open the Bibles to John 16:33. And the reason I'm asking you to open your Bible to John 16:33, this is the last thing that Jesus Christ said to the disciples before his prayer and arrest and trials and crucifixion. The last thing he said. Verse 32, behold, and he never said that before in the upper room, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered. Tells him what's going to happen. You're going to be scattered to each his own. Home is not there. It's his own hiding place. And to leave me alone. But yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. All these things, not just right here, but all the way through back to chapter 13, verse 1, the upper room, I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. You see that? You may have it. Subjunctive mood. You may or may not have this peace. You may have peace in tribulation. Rick and Terry may have peace in this tribulation. You may have peace in your tribulation. But look what else he says. In the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have that. You may have peace. That's up to you. But you will have tribulation in the world. Not from the world. Note that. Note your prepositions. Not from the world. But just in the world. Being in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You can't avoid it. Now, whether or not you have peace in it, that's up to you. Whether you walk by faith, trust me, my son, my word, my spirit, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But look what he says. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Note that word, take courage. We're getting ready to spend some time on that starting this Wednesday, and I think this Wednesday probably. And then Wednesday we get back. It's a very important mandate. Take courage. And it's an imperative. And we're going to study the imperative mood. This is the last thing he said. Take courage. Brace up. Get ready to persevere in the midst of battle. So let's go back now to our board to point 7. Sub-point 1. John 3:16:33. Understanding of tribulation from the world can be a source of inner peace during suffering or tribulation. What's it all about? Why is all this going on? People, you're in the world. That's why. Point two. Tribulation. When from the world and are by Satan, is always designed to break down your faith. People, that's the design of tribulation and suffering, to break down your faith, to squeeze. Go back to the word Philipsis, to squeeze, to crush. What's it trying to squeeze or crush? Your faith. Your faith. Trusting in the Lord. Walking by the power of the Spirit. Don't try to figure out the source. This is what I got to do. It doesn't matter the source. What matters is what I've got to do. I've got to continue to walk by faith and trust Him. So do not try to figure out why. Just trust Him. All right, now we come to point three. Tribulation is designed to crush the spirit of man, crush your faith, crush your will to go on growing in the Word of God, to stop following Jesus Christ. That's why it's designed, people. Every time I go up to the hospital to see Thomas, walk through the sixth floor, and when he was in ICU, looking in the rooms, people, there are unbelievers in there, and they're making it. There are people that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. They're making it all over the world through these things. Through leukemia of their child or themselves, cancer, divorce, financial collapse. Christians fall apart. Oh, why is God doing this? All this. Unbelievers, they just reach down. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I got to go. Got to continue. And they'll make it. People, it's not a matter of making it through. I have no doubt Rick and Terry will make it through. I have no doubt nearly every one of those people in those hospitals will make it through. But you see, they can't do what we can do. They can't glorify God in it. They can't glorify Jesus Christ in the midst of it. That's something we can do that they cannot do. Let's see here. There we go. Point four. Subpoint four. It is the ultimate goal to eliminate the presence of Jesus Christ from the world. That's why the world does it. Get rid of all who witness for Him, to darken any and all influence of Him in society, in the hospital, in the courtroom, in your block, in your work, wherever you are. Eliminate, darken, get rid of the witness of Christ, darken any and all influence of Him in society. So every time a believer does not give in, does not faint from being a witness of Christ, Satan loses. And the light of Christ continues to shine in that area where you are. That's a powerful statement, people. That's a powerful statement, that the light of Christ can continue to shine in a hospital room, in your home, in your block where you live, at your work, in your life. I'm not going to stop witnessing for Christ. I don't care what the world does. I'm not going to stop. Satan loses every time we do that. Every time we continue to grow in the Word of God, in the study of the Word, in Bible study, and witness for Him, and walk with Him, and tell, not ashamed to tell anybody, I'm a Christian. Satan loses. And the light of Christ shines and continues to shine instead of going dark and going out. Subpoint five. One of the great issues of tribulation is perseverance. The perseverance of faith. I don't know. I don't know. I would wager that Rick and Terry have used the word perseverance with Thomas and Scouts and just different things. But now they're learning what that word means. Now it's become an important word. And people, it's going to have to be this way with every one of us when we come under this tribulation. And sometimes just living your life, continually living your life. And Peter will even talk about not everyone will suffer tribulation. Peter will, I think we'll get to that verse. Not everyone will. But people, if you do, it's a perseverance of your faith. Will you persevere? Any young man who's played football knows that generally, the team that perseveres in that fourth quarter wins. How many basket games are won and lost in the last 5 minutes? I'm not a big basketball fan. I'm glad the Mavericks are up for the championship. But my ideal is if I watch the last 5 minutes of a basketball game, that'll take 30 or 40 minutes. But it's that perseverance. You get tired. Your arms get tired. Your knees get tired. Your legs get tired. But you got to persevere. It's a perseverance of faith. So one of the greatest issues, challenges in tribulation is the perseverance of faith during the suffering. The case of Job. Kept hitting, kept getting hit. Bam, bam, bam. One day, sitting out on the porch. I don't know if he was having iced tea. I don't think they had iced tea, but he may have. But he was sitting there, and they came and told him, your crop's gone, your cattle's gone, your stock's gone, finally your family's gone, your children are gone. Just bam, bam, bam is the idea. And you persevere through all of that. There's your point eight, biblical study of tribulation. Point one, tribulation is not able, this is important, tribulation, I don't care what kind it is, self-induced, friendly fire, enemy fire, I don't care, cannot separate us from the love of God. It cannot do it. Doesn't matter the source. Tribulation cannot separate us from the love of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're just going to read one verse, verse 35. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And note the very first thing mentioned. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of sword. But the point here is, tribulation cannot separate us from the love of God. Now, you may pull yourself out, you may remove your hand, but His love is still there. All right, point two. The challenge for the believer is to persevere in tribulation. The challenge for the believer is to persevere in tribulation. Let's look at Romans 12. Just go over a few chapters from where you are to Romans chapter 12. And let's read verses 10 through 13. I'll start at verse 9 in a moment. Let love be without hypocrisy. What does that mean? You know who the hypocrite is in the Bible? The hypocrite is not the person who saved that lives a sinful life. That's the way most people use the word hypocrite. Let me tell you how the Bible, Galatians uses it, Paul uses it. You know who's a hypocrite? Person who's saved by grace through faith and lives like they were saved by their self-righteousness. Saved by their doing good. I'm really good. I'm this, I'm that. We got to walk a straight and narrow. No, you're saved by grace just like me, just like everybody else is. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now let's read our passage. Verses 10 through 13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And people, I hope this assembly will be that, not only to Rick and Terry and Thomas, but to each other. People in this assembly are going through all kinds of tribulations and sufferings and testings, adversities. Financial, romance, marriage, health, all these things. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. It's not about you. It's about them. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. That's the hope of what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Jesus Christ taught a great deal about prayer. Verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So the challenge of the believer is to persevere in tribulation. And again, people, it doesn't matter of where it comes from. Friendly fire, enemy fire, or self-induced, doesn't matter. The challenge is to persevere in your faith. So point three, if you do not have a solid foundation, and this is tough now, here's a tough one. If you do not have a solid foundation in doctrine, in Bible doctrine, in the Word of God, rooted in the love of God, you will not persevere very long in tribulation. You will not persevere very long in tribulation. The most wonderful thing that has been said to me in years was said by Terry. Herman, thank you for the years of teaching that is sustaining Rick and I through this. That said it. That made 37 years, even though she wasn't here for all of that, but it just made it. That's what it's about. But people, if you don't have that kind of solid foundation, and then you get hit, you're not going to be ready to take it. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I didn't plan it while you're looking. I didn't plan it this way, but it just, by the working of the Spirit, that's all I can say, is that in two different studies, Wednesday night John and Sunday morning Romans, we're studying tribulation, where Jesus Christ said, you will have tribulation, and Romans, Paul says, exalt in tribulation. So we're kind of going over a lot of these same things in both studies, but I need it in both studies. And it doesn't hurt us to see it again and again. But if you look with me at Matthew chapter 13, and let's just read two verses together, and that is verses 20 and 21. Matthew 13, verse 20. And the one on whom seed was sown, and seed is the word of God, seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. This is good stuff. Man, I like this. Boy, just this is good, solid stuff. Verse 21. Yet, he has no firm root. No root in himself of that doctrine of the love of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Not rooted in the love of God. Not rooted in the knowledge of Christ. Has no firm root in himself. But is only temporary. I don't have time to study. I got other things to do. This is good stuff. But I got other things to do. Now, you don't know who it is. Doesn't even matter. There was a man, maybe in his 50s, came and visited here, not that long ago. He had the audacity to say, that was the best teaching I have ever heard in my life. Now, I don't know if he's listening anymore, but he hadn't been back. People, if this is the best ice cream, I'm going to be eating Bluebell. If this is the best anything, I don't want just one. I don't understand that. But that's what's going on here. So, let's take a look now at our verse, verse 20, and verse 21. Yet he has no firm root in himself, that means inside of him, but it's only temporary, but it's temporary. He didn't take it in just a little bit. And when, here it is, affliction or persecution arises because of the word, because of the doctrine in him, because of the witness of Christ, immediately he falls away. People, you've got to have a solid foundation. Got to have a solid foundation. That's why I don't care the level. Pee-wee football, pro football. You have preseason. Pardon my crudeness here, but if you're going to throw up, you throw up in preseason. If you're going to lay down on the ground, lay down in preseason. Because during the game, you don't get to. In a game, you don't get to go over and lay down. You just keep going. So this is the whole thing. We've got to be ready for the tribulations. Got to be ready for these things. And how are we ready? By walking in the Spirit when I can, in the peacetime, growing in the Word of God, growing in the Word of God. And then when the battle comes, you persevere. So let's look at the end of verse 20 again. This is the man who, verse 21, he has no firm roots, only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises, because of the Word, that's the gospel, that's doctrine, immediately he falls away. See, perseverance is where you don't fall away. Perseverance is where you hang in there. Okay, I know about the revelation of Christ. I know about the eternity with Christ. I know these things are going to happen. I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm going to continue in the battle. You've got to have the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit. You've got to have that doctrine. Got to know these things. I know about the resurrection of Christ. I know about the revelation of Christ. Know about eternity with Him. Know that He's prepared you a home. Know all these things. And then you hold on to those truths. For me to live as Christ and die as gain, got to hold on to these. All these wonderful things. If you don't know them, you can't hold on to them. They're not there. That will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on him in the middle of tribulation. But if you don't know him, how can you continue thinking about him? Got to think, then there's something up here to think with. Okay, we will resume here two Sunday mornings from now. Next Sunday morning, Philip McMillan will be teaching you the Word of God. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we eagerly await the revelation of Jesus Christ. But until that time comes, it is our distinct privilege to witness for Him. And if that witnessing for Him brings tribulation, then Heavenly Father, we exalt in it that we have been chosen to suffer for Christ, to reflect His glory. We know, Heavenly Father, from Your Word that angels are watching us, and that other people are watching us, especially in tribulation. Angels, are they going to hold on? Other humans, are they going to continue to glorify their God when there is no seeming, no reason? Father, I pray in closing this morning for Rick and Terry that Your Spirit will continue to give them perseverance of their faith. I pray for young Thomas. Your Spirit will give him perseverance of his faith and his trust in You. And Father, I pray for every person in this assembly. And when they're in tribulation, and many are in tribulation right now, that Your Spirit will give them perseverance and faithfulness, that they'll not fall away. That the hope of the revelation of Christ, the confidence of eternity, they'll persevere. Continue to glorify You and be a witness for You. I pray, Father, that everyone that hears this teaching, that these things will go into their soul and form a good, solid, concrete foundation. That no matter the tribulation, it will not, it cannot break them away from You, from Your Word, from Your love. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.